If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Today on Rambling About Cars, we're talking trucks, big and small. We're talking cars in Hollywood. There's a lot coming out this year. If you're into cars and movies, 2023 is going to be a good year. And I think we're going to have time for a little bit of a neat little quiz surprise later on to kind of test your knowledge of cars from maybe 100 years ago thereabouts. So let's roll. It is podcast time. I am Christopher Smith, Mr. Chris Bruce, across the way. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. So I know you were saying it was just snowing there yesterday. The weather's been chilly, but not nasty here. It's got me missing my Mini a little bit because right now my wife and I just have our two Subarus here in Columbus. So looking forward to some warmer weather and getting that going again. And
So the Mini is stored at your other house?
Yeah, the Mini's at the other house.
Oh, yeah, I can see that being a little bit rough, especially as the weather's getting nice.
Yeah.
Group, morning, thank you for the morning wish.
Where are you at that it is morning? You must be somewhere in Asia. No, backwards. Oh, frontwards. So you're in Europe somewhere.
No, you're going to be like over like far east, that area where it's morning.
Yeah,
you might we love our listeners and our viewers from all around the world.
We absolutely do.
In case you need a reminder, Australia. Okay, there you go. I got a friend that's down in Australia. He always used to tease me because he's into cars. And when he would come up to Michigan when I was working marketing in a former life, he would just razz me about all the Holdens that I couldn't get to drive. And it would always annoy me and amuse me at the same time.
Sure.
And wherever you're listening, hey, we're giving people a little bit of time. Motor1.com on Facebook, Motor1.com on Twitter, Motor1 YouTube. You can go there. You can see the show live. You can interact with us live, whether you're in Australia or Ohio, where Bruce is at, or Northern Michigan, where I'm at. We have people all over the world. We love chatting with you. And if you don't catch the show live, we still always love our audio listeners. If you're on Spotify, Apple, Deezer, iHeartRadio, Amazon, we always got to get the Deezer mention in there, man. Like, follow, subscribe, all the good stuff on socials like that for Motor One. So we can keep doing this. So we can keep rambling about cars along with all the ramblers out there. We have an episode for today.
Yeah,
I think it's going to feel a little different. Why don't you explain it, Bruce?
Yeah, so it is, in terms of car debuts, it's a very light week. In terms of car news, there's some really cool stuff happening. Mm-hmm. So we're going to show some movie trailers this time, and we talked to some people, and we figured the best way to do it is I'm going to mute the actual audio. I'm going to turn closed captions on, and Smith and I are going to be talking over them and talking about the, you know, what we're seeing and what's going on. From what we understand, that's the best way for YouTube not to kill this episode. However, anyone watching live, you're going to be fine. It's just the archive that might get messed up. So,
and if you're watching live, you got to give us some feedback on these trailers too, because I mean, we had just three just in the last week. And then just before the show, we were like, oh, well, you know, what about, well, we'll just say, what about Transformers? That's coming out this year too. So that's four big car things that we have to talk about from Hollywood. But before we get to Hollywood, let's get to Detroit and talk about the 2024 GMC Sierra 2500 HD AT4X. For some reason, I have to say this, And please chime in. Everybody that's listening right now, chime in if you have the same trouble as I do. I keep wanting to say ATX4, and it's AT4X. And I don't, is that just me where I want to put the X before the four? Is that just a weird me thing? Because I have to fight myself constantly when I'm writing and when I'm talking. I will bet $1,000 I will say ATX4 at some point in this broadcast. Not including the time, you know, just 5 seconds ago when I said it.
Right. Now, I don't get that's not one of my little writing foibles. There, I can almost guarantee to you I will never spell Dihatsu right. To right now, I don't know if it's D-I-A. Yeah, D-I-A or D-A-I. I get it wrong every time. So we all have our little things.
Dude, I've been writing professionally for 30 years. I still can't spell Massachusetts.
Let's get into the truck.
Anyways, truck.
For anyone who follows the show or for anyone who follows truck news, this is going to sound really, really familiar really quickly, because this truck is in very, very large part the Chevrolet Silverado 2500 HD. What did they call it?
The equivalent. I can't remember exactly the branding, but I mean, it's the same deal.
ZR2, the Silverado 2500 HD ZR2.
Why couldn't I think ZR2? Because I'm trying to make sure I don't say ATX4 instead of AT4X. That's why I couldn't think of it. But you're right, Bruce. It's pretty much the same deal, just for GMC. GMC, they do make a big deal in saying that this is the first time they've had a really kind of aggressive, hardcore off-roader in their HD lineup, and it's true. It does get an 1.5-inch suspension lift. It has extra skid plates underneath. It has just some neat beefy upgrades to give it a little bit more off-road chops. It's got the DSSV Multimatic dampers underneath, 35-inch tires, new e-locking differential at the rear axle. Up front, they give it new upper and lower control arms with upgraded steering knuckles. Just to make sure it's a little more capable off-road. Cause I mean, this is an HD truck. This isn't a small machine. This is a big rig in every sense of the word, and it's made even bigger. And if that's still not enough.
Okay. I was hoping you're getting there.
There's the AEV edition, which adds more skid plates, steel bumpers front and rear with a built-in winch up front. It has special wheels that just give it a little bit meaner of a look. They're 18-inch wheels. Special badging. You get the nice, what they call Obsidian Rush interior with leather, massaging seats, luxury features. But it's still a hardcore off-roader.
It is. But we should say that interior is one of the big things that sets this apart from the Silverado. Right. That you don't get things like the really nice leather. I'm pretty sure you don't get massaging seats in this version of the Silverado. It's not quite as nice inside. You know, they're siblings. They share a lot. But when you go to the GMC, you get a little bit nicer of a truck in terms of, you know, kind of touch points and things like that. That's kind of the major selling point.
Right. And that's par for the course. If you want the slightly more luxurious truck, from GM stable, you go to the GMC. Not that the Silverado doesn't have a lot to offer. The GMC is going to offer a little bit more. I mean, under the hood, everything is still the same. And if you remember from when the 2024 Sierra HD debuted back in October, do you remember, Bruce? Because you wrote the original debut article.
And I was in the backgrounder. What's the question, though?
That's right. No, I was just pointing out, if you remember, the engines are still the same. There's the 6.6 Duramax V8 turbo diesel, up to 470 horsepower, 975 pound-feet of torque. And there's also the 6.6 gas V8 that makes 401 horsepower, 464 pound-feet of torque. Both are connected to an Allison 10-speed automatic. So that much at least doesn't change. GMC they did emphasize that a few times in their press release. You could tow up to 18,500 pounds with this truck if you are so inclined. And I love some of the press photos they give. It's like, you know, here's the AEV edition, massive truck. It can tow 18,500 pounds. And it's got this relatively little small like off-road camper that it's towing. But I mean, it's they're presenting this as, you know, a machine that you're really going to take to the back and beyond.
Yeah. And I want to, Ted Adam Green commented, these look like they could be called after the end of the world editions. Definitely good for surviving the zombie apocalypse in style. You're right, Ted, but I'm only going to disagree with you because you're going to have to be able to find fuel for the thing. And these HD trucks, they're thirsty.
They are a bit thirsty. But yeah,
wait, I like what Groove by FBC says, surviving the zombies with a butt massage. True luxury.
Well, yeah. Maybe if the zombies sit in the massaging seats, maybe, I mean, everybody's like, we need to find a cure, you know, trying to come up with something to inject them with. Maybe they just need a butt massage, man.
Maybe they do. Maybe that's been the secret all along.
Stopping zombies.
No one's tried.
Have you tried it? I don't think so. Don't try giving zombies butt massages. That's probably a bad idea. That's our public service announcement for the day. But to jump back to Ted's point, I think it goes without saying, automakers are doing their best to make their trucks, and we're even seeing it now with some of the larger SUVs.
We're about to see it in the next truck we're talking about.
More rugged, more badass, more just more in your face, grr. That's really kind of what the AEV edition is about. The wheels, I mean, the standard AT4X, I have to stop myself now consciously to do it. The AT4X, I mean, it's just as capable. The AEV, I mean, the main thing that sticks out there are those wheels that between you and me and everybody that's listening, I don't really like those wheels. And group FBC. Another great service announcement. Do not Google giving zombie a butt massage. Nope.
Sounds like a good
message. Nope. Turn on all the parental controls and walk away.
Smith, I know you have a little bit of a time crunch tonight, so I wanted to keep us moving and talking about the other truck, and that is the fact that Toyota and once it debuts, I hope whoever attends our debut event asks them why, have been sending us teaser after teaser after teaser for the new Toyota Tacoma.
I'm counting up right now. I'm at seven. Seven in just about the last month, maybe a little bit longer. Eight, if you include what's being considered a leak, where you sort of had a look at the truck in silhouette. I think it leaked out before it was supposed to be teased. So that takes me up to, eight.
That's still a teaser image. Maybe it's a teaser image that came out early, but that tells you.
Yeah.
That's not like a real image of, well, it is a real image of the truck, but it's not an image of the truck that lets you know what the truck looks like.
I mean, it's a truck.
Yeah. It's a silhouette
We can see there are four doors. You can't see the doors, but unless those are two really big doors, I mean, you know, it's going to be like a crew cab setup with a shortish box. If you somehow missed it, the actual design leaked like back in what, January, February?
Yes.
Toyota even made fun of that leak in one of their teasers. It was like a design patent thing from Brazil that an image got out. And I mean, that's how the truck looks in Brazil. Can you say 100% that's how it's going to look in other markets? No, because nothing's official, but it's most likely how it's going to look in other markets as well. Maybe with some little small styling changes here and there, little trim changes.
Well, I wanted to bring this up because it fits perfectly with what we were talking about with the AT4X. And that is that there's going to be a new Trail Hunter version of the Tacoma. And that's going to sit even above the TRD versions that we know are coming, because I can show you the TRD Pro's tailgate here in just a moment. But the Trail Hunter is going to be the top of the heap. And again, it goes to what we were saying, is that automakers, they know just the marketing message works, that people want these even more rugged, like you know, Toyota has had TRD versions of its trucks for ages and ages, decades. And now they're like, okay, we need to top ourselves. What can we do? The Trail Hunter. It hunts trails.
Well, and that was a name that I, if I remember correctly, popped up last year. And it's designed to be a machine, a vehicle focused more on the overlanding crowd. So, you know, exactly how capable it's going to be.
We don't.
Well, I mean, yeah, that'll be revealed when the truck debuts. But based on what we've seen on previous reports for Trail Hunter, yeah, you're going to have a little bit more ground clearance, a little bit better bite with the tires. We see red recovery hooks sticking out the front and the back, which, yeah, I guess that's the thing now. You put your red recovery
ARB hooks logos, which means what, maybe ARB locking diffs, maybe an ARB auxiliary air system. Mm-hmm. ARB makes all sorts of equipment like that, and clearly Toyota's working with them on this.
Yeah, I mean, Toyota says built from the ground up with off-roading and overlanding in mind. I mean, that's Toyota's official place on that. Yep. But I mean, we're still talking about the Tacoma. I don't think they've built the Tacoma necessarily from the ground up to, you know, tackle mountains, but the Trail Hunter is designed to be more of an off-road focused vehicle. Yep. But that's just,
speaking of which,
that's just one teaser.
Well, we've shown two so far. The Hero Up, I don't think we're going to show all eight because that's overkill.
Let's show. Hey, let's go through all eight. This one is interesting. We're looking at the teaser of just the tailgate. It's a picture of the tailgate. There's
but
some
you
dirt
also
flying up
at
behind
that little
tailgate.
Badge on the
that. That could be a big deal because we're seeing, okay, TRD Pro. Hey, there's going to be a Tacoma TRD. I mean, that was pretty much guaranteed. But that badge on the lower corner says iForce Max. Now, iForce Max is their twin turbo V6 hybrid powertrain.
It is. I'm still would be very surprised if they put the same engine in as the Tundra into this. Mm-hmm. It would shock me. I'm not saying they're not going to do it, but I wonder if this is a hybrid, you know, maybe a four-cylinder rather than a V6 or something like that.
Well, and that's where the mystery, and that's probably worth a little bit of discussion here. So all the Ramblers out there listening, jump into your comments here and chime in. I mean, right now, we only know the iForce Max, like I said, as the twin-turbo V6 hybrid in the Tundra. We have the badge here. Could they do the V6 twin-turbo hybrid in the Taco? I mean, it doesn't seem likely to me that they would do that and then keep the power level the same as the Tundra. So if it is the V6 still, I would expect a lower output. Then again, if you wanted to make a really cool ass, moderately small truck, that could be a lot of fun.
Yeah. And it would be a shot over the bow of, you know, your Ranger Raptor, which we don't, you know, have quite yet, but we kind of pretty sure is coming, you know, things like that, you know.
Yeah, well, Ranger Raptor is going by memory here. And we know my memory is notoriously bad. Isn't the new Ranger Raptor around 400, I think, in certain markets?
Remember. I can't remember, to be totally honest with you, but I can say, so the iForce Max, the hybrid twin turbo V6 that is in the Tundra, makes 437 horsepower, 583 pound-feet of torque. That just seems like too much for the Tacoma. I don't know why I just put that weird emphasis on those words, on those syllables, but it seems like too much, but maybe Toyota will surprise us. I don't know.
Well, group is coming in and saying, yeah, approximately 400 horse. I know it's lower in some markets. I think the UK might be lower, but then in other markets, it's going to be up. So, I mean, that's probably what it will be in the United States as well. I don't know. The more I think about it, if you wanted to make an aggressive competitor to Ranger Raptor, going with a V6 with that hybrid, and just toning it down a little bit, you're right there. But there could also be a new four-cylinder iForce Max hybrid system. This is just part of the mystery of the Tacoma that we have right now that we're going to have to wait and see. Bruce, do you have the teaser ready? You read my mind. That's the next teaser that I wanted to go to.
Good.
Because this just came out, a couple days ago?
2 days ago? Yesterday? 2 days ago?
Two days ago. Hey,
yesterday.
There's a manual transmission coming back to the Tacoma. Most likely a six-speed. The teaser is just three pedals.
Yeah, this is the teaser image, folks. So you know as much as we do.
But I'm glad you jumped over to this one, because we're sitting here talking about the possibility of having that 400 horse in a Tacoma with an iForce Max hybrid powertrain. And then we come back here with a manual transmission. I'm going to throw it back a few years. Who here remembers the Toyota X-Runner? The Tacoma X-Runner.
I hate that thing. Was so tacky. I know you like it. I know.
It was a little
photo.
It was a little tacky, but it was a cool little street truck. They didn't really give it any power boost, but it sat low, and you could get it with a six-speed manual. And I think it had some fun street cred to it. If Toyota wanted to go that route, I mean, we know it's going to have a manual. We know it's going to have an iForce Max hybrid, whatever power output that's going to be. Could we get the two together for a new X-Runner? I mean, we've heard nothing. Just want to make it clear. We've heard nothing on that front at all. And the way things are going in the truck world, people want off-road. They don't want on-road. But when I saw the manual transmission Tacoma teaser, I immediately jumped to the X-Runner. Like Bruce said, I kind of like the truck, and maybe I'm weird on that front.
No, I don't think you're weird. I think it just doesn't necessarily, the mini truck thing has never appealed to me, but as we were talking about in our Motor One chat, mini truck, that fad, that kind of between like 1990 and 1995, I feel like it's heyday. It's getting old enough now that I wonder if it's going to circle back and we're going to get there again. I don't necessarily know that I want that to happen because I don't like them, but I could see it happening just out of nostalgia that we could see people building mini trucks again.
I mean, I love that idea because I am more interested in on-road as opposed to off-road.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think the trends are there. I don't think the numbers are there. I think buyers are more interested in going off-road.
Okay. Fair enough.
But hey, everybody that's listening out there, if you're listening live, chime in, give us a comment, let us know what you think there.
I just said, and it's not my thing. I wouldn't be shocked if there's enough nostalgia for it for people of roughly our generation, that if an automaker came out with an interesting mini truck or a truck inspired by the 90s mini trucks, whether that wouldn't be a success.
We'll just have to wait and see. I don't know if we can. I think a debut. I'll just say I think a debut is coming up pretty soon. So I don't think we'll have too much longer to wait. To hopefully get some of these answers. Here's another teaser. It's going to have a removable speaker.
Yep, removable Bluetooth speaker. So, you know, you can see in the images that we've got, we're showing here, it fits into a little cubby on the dashboard, but it's Bluetooth, so you can remove it and, you know, you're partying, you're tailgating, you're, you know, got a little campfire going, whatever, you can pull it out and listen to it outside the truck.
Which, I mean, when I first saw this teaser, I was like, are they like struggling to find stuff to talk about for the Tacoma? But the more I think about
they're clearly not. They've got eight teasers, and I think there are more to come. So no, they're not struggling.
Yeah, there are more to come. I thought this one was kind of silly, but the more I think about it, the more it feels like one of those "why didn't they think of it sooner" ideas. Because I mean, Bluetooth tech has been around for a while.
Yeah.
Little speaker, pop it out, set it up, you know, outside. And as I was looking at that, and then as I mulled it over, after I got over the shock of, wow, they're really teasing a speaker for their truck. It dawned on me, well, let's see. I've got a portable Bluetooth speaker sitting out in the garage. I have another portable Bluetooth speaker sitting out in my shop. So as I'm carrying my phone around, if I want to listen to something, I got the speaker right there to listen to. Okay. We put it in a vehicle, and now we have the tunes wherever we want to go. If we're, like you said, Bruce, tailgating, something like that. So we know it's going to have a removable Bluetooth speaker.
I want to add real quick. A lot of vehicles already have Bluetooth connections. Like,
right.
That's not an uncommon feature. So basically I would assume Toyota looked at that and said, hey, Bluetooth speakers are a thing. Our car is already, it's already set up to hook up with Bluetooth. Why don't we just make the speaker removable? And if you're doing something, you put it wherever you want. It's a very simple idea, but it's also a very clever idea.
Simple and clever. Two things that usually end up going in a good direction.
Yeah.
Will it help Tacoma sales? I don't know, but it's certainly a neat feature to have.
It'd be a neat gimmick, you know. It's something you can show off to your buddies. Like, hey, I bought this new truck, and they'll be like, oh, what can it do? And you show them everything, and then you finally get to, oh, and it's got this removable speaker. Very good.
Group FBC says Rivians have removable Bluetooth speakers. I did not know this, so thank you for sharing that little bit of information. I haven't had a chance to be around Rivians, but good call there.
Yeah.
And now we're looking at...
Tacoma is going to be a far less expensive vehicle than a Rivian R1T is. So it exposes that to, you know, a different group of buyers. So
for sure. Yet another Toyota Tacoma teaser. This one showing it. Hey, we have wheels and tires and Fox shocks.
And we're ready to go off-road.
Which is
all kind of equipment on the current TRD. So basically they're, you know, doubling down on what they already have.
One thing that I picked out actually from, I forget where exactly I didn't pick it up on my own. I think I picked it up in some comments on Toyota social media pages. Because when we're doing these teasers, I like to try to go through some of the social pages just to see if I can get a vibe for what the general feedback is. And I'm sure Toyota's doing the same. And two, you never know if there might be like, some disgruntled guy that works at the Toyota factory that might have something to say. So it's always a good, you know, not a bad idea to go through and see what's going on. And somebody mentioned that, hey, those are disc brakes back there. I didn't realize that Tacoma was still running drum brakes. And those are disc brakes now.
I didn't know that it still had rear drums either.
And I mean, once I saw that, I was like, no. And I looked it up in the configurator. And I looked it up on the website, and yeah, there were still drum brakes on the back of the Tacoma. So next gen model, at least on the TRD, disc brakes all around. So, I mean, I don't know if Toyota intended to show that feature here, but it was something that was picked up on by quite a few people in social media.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
So,
let's get on to the potentially dangerous portion of the show, or at least but dangerous for us. For everyone else watching, it's just fun. But
Danger is my middle name.
Yeah. So
yeah, it was a bad
again,
impression.
Folks, at this point, no, it's not that. It's just that at this point, the archive might be dead. If you are watching later, I'm trying my absolute hardest to keep this train on the tracks. But we're going to see. It's the first time we've done this. If it works, we'll do it some more. If it doesn't work, we'll never do it again.
So let's, but Bobby, before we just run out the videos here, I mean, let's tell people here.
Yeah. So
go ahead.
Yeah. So we are going to talk about the latest trailer for Fast X came out, Fast and Furious 10, the first teaser trailer for the Twisted Metal TV series that's going to be on Peacock came out. The first real trailer, we saw it wasn't even a teaser. It was just like a teaser image before, actually.
It was a teaser and it mentioned, hey, this is coming.
Right. For the Gran Turismo movie. And then the first real trailer for Transformers Rise of the Beasts.
Well, we've seen a few, the latest one.
Did we?
Yeah, there was.
I'm sorry, there was, I am not a a Transformers fan.
I hate Transformers. I have nothing to do with them. whatsoever. That's Voltron behind me, by the way. I moved my Transformers to the other case. We had a Transformers trailer that's like a couple weeks old now. That came out. There was one before that. I think it was a little bit shorter, but that's where we got the. I remember that one clearly.
Oh, there was because, the Super Bowl teaser with the Porsche.
Yeah, that's yeah, where we learned that okay. that the Porsche isn't Jazz, it's Mirage, and I threw a little bit of a temper tantrum because Jazz should be the Porsche. Mirage was the F1 car. But hey, you know what? I'm over it. I'm past it. I'm going to smile. Okay. I might even go and enjoy the movie. But those are the four movies, well, three movies and a TV show that we're going to talk about here. It was just kind of convenient timing that most of those trailers dropped at around the same time. And Bruce and I realized.
Yeah, they've all come out in the last 7 days, not necessarily the past week in terms of calendar time, but in the past seven days,
right.
All three of these have come out.
And it's going to be it'll be an exciting month or an exciting summer for people that are, you know, into cars and flicks. So let's take a look at some of these in case you missed them. Let's take a look.
I've got them all queued up here, Smith. I'm going to let you pick which you want to do first.
Let's go with Twisted Metal.
Okay. That's not going to be my first pick.
Let me give a little bit of background for those that are wondering, okay, aside from this being about some car, you know, what's the significance for the gamers out there? If you remember back in the mid 90s, if I remember correctly, it was a series on the PlayStation.
It was
a Twisted Metal. It was a series
here,
of games.
Let me play this and you and I can talk over it because that'll actually work the best.
Okay. Well, it was a series of games, really like a demolition derby, but with guns and bombs and missiles and things, and you could blow up other cars. And it got kind of a pretty good following. I think Twisted Metal 2 was probably the peak of the series.
Agreed.
Of different cars that you could get, but I think most people remember you could get the weird ice cream truck.
I want us to comment over this while we're doing it real quick. You're absolutely right on everything here. So we've got Subaru WRX, which as far as I know, have never been in the games, but I haven't played the most recent one. So maybe
we're talking about the trailer too, by the way, right now. We've got Bug Eye Rex, with Anthony Mackie starring in the series.
Yep.
And his character
is playing the song, Steal My Sunshine by Lem, which is why I have this muted because it would just kill us immediately.
But he's got
machine guns mounted to the front of it. He's driving around.
And then the camera zooms out and you see this is a, like a post-apocalypse world. And then we get the cut to Las Vegas, which is destroyed. And there we have the iconic Twisted Metal ice cream truck with the creepy clown guy inside. That's where the teaser ends. It's streaming on Peacock. This isn't going to be a movie. This is actually going to be a series of 10 half-hour episodes.
Right.
And they're billing it. I was looking it up on IMDb. They're billing it as something of a comedy. So it sounds like they're not going to take themselves
seriously. A dark com. To my mind, what I'm kind of expecting is a little bit of Deadpool, a little bit of Zombieland, that type, you know.
It's not going to be a light comedy when you have cars with machine guns on them.
Right.
But Anthony Mackie is the star. His character's name is John Doe. And the premise is he has to take some package of some sort across the country. And this is in some post-apocalyptic world. Yep. So he has a bug-eye WRX with machine guns and he's got a bunch of CDs for the road trip and it'll be 10 episodes, a half hour each.
Yep.
It looks kind of neat. I'm looking over at IMDb right now. I don't recognize many of these actors Neve Campbell is in it. She plays Raven. Thomas Hayden Church, who's a veteran of a lot of series. He's in it. Agent Stone, Will Arnett, Sweet Tooth.
Samoa Joe, the wrestler, is playing the body of Sweet Tooth. And then Will Arnett is doing the voice, right?
The voice. Yes, yeah. I believe that's correct.
So it's odd that they're splitting up. But
Sweet Tooth is the ice cream truck.
Yeah, the big killer clown.
If you couldn't piece that one together.
And then I am a fan of the podcast Doughboys, and one of the co-hosts of that, Mike Mitchell, he is on the show. I do not know who he is, but he has been talking about filming the show for months now. So
that's cool. Bruce, before we move on, here's why I picked this one. Do you remember from 2017 and all the listeners out there, anybody that remembers this show, please either comment or shoot us an email, podcast@motorone.com. Because I fell in love with this show in a way that I seldom fall in love with anything. It was a show on Sci-Fi called Blood Drive.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Never heard of it.
We actually wrote an article because it looks so strange back then. It's like, okay, the show on Sci-Fi is called Blood Drive. It's about cars that run on blood and they have to be fed humans. I mean, it was definitely a dark comedy. It was like a dark comedy grindhouse kind of thing that aired on Sci-Fi. They had one season, and I wrote an article on just the previews for that show. And I was like, this looks pretty bizarre. So I watched the first episode and I loved it. It was like this weird kind of post-apocalypse steampunk grindhouse thing. It was just, it was off the rails.
Never saw it. Never even heard of it.
Huh. I don't even think there are episodes like anywhere on YouTube or anything. Cause I've been trying. I will buy the series if it comes out. I will buy the series. It's got, I can't remember the various actors that were in it, but it was just a weird story. The two stars, the guy was a police officer, who was trying to stop these people that were basically doing this illegal race, or they were feeding people to their car. Like I said, that's how some of these cars work.
Okay.
But then he got caught up in this race, with this woman who was trying to, and she had a badass Camaro, by the way, a badass first gen Camaro that, yes, she fed people to keep it running. She was trying to win this race to get at like one of the ringleaders, and the character's name was Julian Slink. One of the coolest bad guys I've ever seen in my life. Anyways.
So the guy who needs to was trying to keep the show short and said, hey, I got to leave early tonight.
I'm rambling a little bit.
You have just talked more about, what is it, Blood Drive, than
Blood
anyone
Drive
has ever spoken about it in the history of the internet.
Blood Drive, it was on Sci-Fi. I just wanted to say that this Twisted Metal show, I get a little bit of that vibe. And if you could float me like another 30 seconds here.
Sure,
if you can float me another 30 seconds.
Blood Drive fans out there, this
for
is
some
your day.
For some reason, it's still
years for this.
It still shows up on Sci-Fi's channel.
Well,
it has a show, Blood Drive. You know, the latest news is like, six, 7 years old, 27. Yeah. 6 years old.
The latest news is, why are you here? Don't you have something better to do?
But
you shouldn't
I mean, it
be
was
looking up Blood Drive.
It was just a cool show. I think Twisted Metal gives me a little bit of that vibe, and I'm really excited to watch it. I'm really excited to see what it's about. Let's talk about some of the movies now.
Let's talk about an actual movie that's coming up. Let's talk about Gran Turismo. Mm-hmm. This is the official trailer for that. We had just had some like very, 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 very slight teasery stuff about it. Again, we're muted here. This is the story of Lucas Ordonez, who is a real person. It's John Marlborough. Sorry.
Right. Yes. Yes.
Yes. Sorry. I apologize. Lucas Ordonez and John Marlborough, they both were early winners in the Gran Turismo GT Academy. This is about Jan. He's a kid. He's obsessed with cars. He plays Gran Turismo a lot, and he finds out that there is the GT Academy event and enters it and becomes an actual race car driver. And so we've got, what's his name? Haber, help me out. What's the actor? The guy from Stranger Things, Smith, I got the trailer up here.
Okay. Yeah. Give me just a moment. I'm kind of blanking.
Anyway.
I was watching the teaser trailer. Sorry. David Harbour.
Is it Harbour? I thought it was pronounced Haber. Anyway, David Harbour. We've got Orlando
from
Bloom.
Stranger Things. Orlando Bloom. Yes.
And a whole lot of racing. This is a lot of racing.
There should be a lot of just really good action. This is based on a true story. The people that we're talking about are real. I think the movie is going to take some creative liberties, among other things. It's based in the present day, and when Jan Marlborough won this, I think that was back in 2011.
Sounds right.
And it just showed
up there. Director is Neil Blomkamp, who is someone who's most famous for doing sci-fi. The name of his most famous one is sadly just out of my head right now as I watch this. But yeah, essentially he goes from being someone who sim races to becoming a real race driver. Mm-hmm. And that's the story.
And they're packing a lot of drama into it. There's the scene in the trailer where, the guys working with the Nissan team are like, you seriously want me to take gamers and make them racers? It'll tear them to pieces. A lot of drama like that. I love how the trailer flashes to like these pair of gold Lamborghinis.
Mm-hmm.
And then
gold wrapped Lamborghinis.
and there's apparently, the driver for one of those cars. It's kind of billing them as the traditional bad guy. Those are the bad guys that you got to look out for. I hope they don't fall into too deeply into kind of that cliched kind of field. Do you know what I'm talking about? I think this has potential to be a really good movie, especially if you love cars and especially if you do some gaming, whether it's on a high level or a low level. I've got my sim racing cockpits that I've built over the years. I've got another one that I'm working on right now. I certainly enjoy doing that. Is it completely different from driving in the real world? Yes, I've driven on tracks in the real world. It's very different, but they're both enjoyable experiences at the same time. I think it's an interesting story to tell. Watching the trailer, especially when they bring out the gold Lamborghinis, that part just kind of sticks out. It's like, do you have to make it that way? Do you have to set it up so clearly where it's like, okay, here's the young outsider who's just trying to strive forward and have a chance while the established people are going to humiliate him and make fun of him. And it's just like, don't be that, I don't want that.
Now you and I agree. It feels like some of the acting is kind of turned up to 11 where maybe it should be an 8, but again, it's a trailer. It's trying to build hype. You reserve judgment for these things.
Right. And it's worth mentioning too. Nissan GT Academy went for like 6 or 7 years. It wasn't like just a flash in the pan. Oh, here's this crazy idea. It went for several years, and there were several people that moved
on. That's why
to
I got Jan Martinborough and Lucas Ordonez confused, is because they both found actual racing success. They went from sim racers to real racers and had success.
Yeah.
Like, you know, found podiums, things like that. Were they the great, were they the next Michael Schumacher? No, but without that program, they probably never would have gotten to the track, and they found success there. So it's hard,
right?
You know,
and it's not like, it's not like they went, and it's not like they went right from a sim racing rig into a race car.
No,
they,
of course not.
They went through like the, you know, the driver training program. I mean, it was their foot in the door. Yep. And Ted Adam Green, you just had his comment up there. Maybe we should be listening to Ted on this one. Gran Turismo looks like a whole lot of fun. Maybe we just need to approach it as, hey, let's just go and have a, let's just enjoy a fun car movie, right?
All right, Smith, for this next one, I got to lean hard on you, buddy, because this is not my wheelhouse at all. Let's watch the Transformers trailer.
Let's watch Transformers.
Call out what you see, because I'm not going to know any of it.
Now, I haven't.
Sure. I know some of it, but.
I haven't really done a lot of research. I'm not a huge fan of the later, you know, Bay trailers. I know this isn't Michael Bay.
This one's not Michael Bay.
It's basically, it's combining G1 Transformers with Beast Wars, and Beast Wars, that's out of my wheelhouse. I didn't watch any of Beast Wars.
Oh, I actually watched Beast Wars as a kid.
Well, yeah. we're going to have to tag team this one, man, because I don't know much about like Optimus Primal, you know, the gorilla that transforms into a robot. But from what I gather here, there is a new threat to the world. It's Unicron, who eats planets, if you remember from the G1 days. And they actually have Unicron that looks like Unicron from G1 Transformers in the 80s.
This is set in 1994. So it is a period piece.
Set in 1994. It is a period piece. We do get to see some of the other Autobots in detail. Right now we're looking at the Porsche 964. That is Mirage instead of Jazz. So we have Mirage there. We have Optimus Prime, who's
in his classic Freightliner classic
G1 cab over design. Bumblebee is back with the Camaro. If you remember the previous movie, Bumblebee, he was the classic Volkswagen. At the end of that movie, he morphed into his Camaro mode. And from there, I mean, we get images of Unicron, this big planet. I don't know exactly what role Decepticons have to play in this one yet.
We haven't really seen that many, interestingly enough.
What's curious, when you go to IMDb and you look up the cast, Cyclonus is listed as a character in the movie.
You got to tell us who Cyclonus is, because
Cyclonus was a Decepticon towards the end of the animated series, you know, the first generation animated series. If you remember, after Transformers, the movie, the original one in 86, where the marketing people killed off all the old robots so they could sell new ones, Cyclonus was one of the new ones. He was a main Decepticon, so he was a main bad guy.
Okay.
So his role with Unicron, don't know. Well, actually, maybe we do know. Going back to my G1 Transformer knowledge, Unicron actually created Cyclonus, Scourge, the Sweeps, and Galvatron, who was made from Megatron. But now, if you know, careful, you opened up a can of worms with me now here, buddy. If you know the more recent movies, the Bay movies, okay, you'll know that they actually already talked about Unicron and they already talked about Galvatron. So exactly how this is going to weave into that universe, we don't know yet. But we do know lots of transforming robots, lots of cars. We did confirm this recent trailer. Nissan Skyline R33. We don't know who that's going to be yet. That's going to be some character in the movie because it does transform. RC, female Autobot, we see in this one, though she is a motorcycle here instead of a little convertible like she was in the G1 days.
Okay. Wow, I did open up a can of worms on this one. So I think it's best to move on. But yes, no, I am being mean to Transformers. It's just I saw the very first Michael Bay one. I didn't like it, and I haven't seen any of those movies since then. So
I've seen them just because I have a passing interest. Just like the next franchise we're about to talk about, the more recent movies. I'm not a huge fan just because I feel like they just took way too many liberties and they went in way too many different directions. And also plot matters. And I feel like the whole goal there was, hey, let's just do some cool special effects and just have the dumbest plot possible with ridiculous acting. Yep. Not that the actors themselves were bad. I don't feel like they were given good material to work with. That's my take. That's my take on the Bayformers.
And yeah. And last but not least, let's check out the latest trailer for Fast X, the 10th Fast and the Furious film. We know there will be a Fast X 2 because it's going to be a two-parter. And this one is the most recent to come out. This will be out May 19th. So basically 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, this movie is almost upon us. And this trailer, I said it in the article I wrote up today. It really focuses on relationships, specifically with Dominic Toretto, of course, played by Vin Diesel, Letty Ortiz, played by Michelle Rodriguez. They've been the star couple throughout the saga, except for the movies where Letty was dead and then Dom's heart went to somebody else for a little while. Enough of a heart to where he ultimately had a baby boy,
a child. Yeah.
So now they have, you know, Dom and Letty are raising Dom's child. And I'm sure if you haven't heard about the movie, I'll give you a quick synopsis. The son of the bad guy from Fast Five is back and he's angry because Dom and his family killed his dad.
So he's played by Jason Momoa, who has the perfect villain goatee. Like he just has like the most strokeable goatee ever. We're about to see it here.
Yeah. And I saw a little behind the scenes, an interview with him where he was talking about his chance to play this character.
I'm going to pause it here. Look at that. That is like, he just looks like a smarmy villain.
He does. He looks very villainous. He said he had a lot of fun with the role. He hadn't played a villain in a while, he said, and he just kind of wanted to be the opposite of Dom, where Dom is generally pretty reserved, doesn't really crack many jokes, pretty straight laced, pretty straightforward, just straightforward badass. Momoa's character is just like he sings, he wants to have fun with everything, and you kind of get that vibe. So
I'm gonna back this up here just a second. So we're one thing this trailer shows is a bit more of the fight scene between Michelle Rodriguez and Charlize Theron, and that is something I actually look forward to in this movie because Charlize Theron is in Atomic Blonde, which is probably my favorite action movie of the 2010s. I think, I can say that safely.
It's a good flick.
I like it a lot. I look forward to, you know, she is a good dramatic actress, but she is also a fantastic action actress. So,
oh yeah, for sure. And then of course it's Fast and Furious. So of course you have to have a black charger falling out of an airplane. I think that became contractual in like Fast Five or Fast Four, one of those. So yeah, there's still plenty of bonkers, crazy car stunts. Driving a charger out of a cargo plane that's flying, a jet-powered cargo plane that's flying. So knowing what I know about aircraft, that cargo plane is probably doing at least 300 or 350 miles an hour. Which, okay, you open up the rear door. Hey, they can do that. You drive the charger out like 20 feet or 50 feet off the ground. Okay, that's pretty low for the big cargo plane. It lands on the SUVs, flips them, and then presumably drives away. I mean, flying a Fiero to space, I could believe.
Sure.
Crickets there. That was supposed to be sarcasm. No,
well,
it's gonna be every bit as wild
over the top
and over the top.
I noticed Fast Five, they have like the plane that takes like 3 miles to take off.
That was six.
I'm sorry.
That's when they really started to stretch it. We've got some time here. My take on the Fast saga. I saw the first one. I'm old enough to remember going to see the first one in the theater, driving there in a tourist show, ready to street race everybody after the movie. We got to share this comment from group
why are you
Smith. Why are you trying to apply logic and science to Fast and Furious? Because tonight this drink is only water. That's why.
You mentioned they took a Fiero into space. Like at that point, all bets are, it might as well have time travel now.
I mean, I watched the first one. The second one just seemed a little silly. It took me, I didn't watch Tokyo Drift until like probably 3 or 4 years after it came out. And I wasn't really into that because, okay, it was just telling a completely different story with different characters. When Fast and Furious came out, that was the fourth one. Okay, now they've got Paul Walker and Vin Diesel back. You know, we'll see what it's about. And that was a pretty good movie. I think Fast Five is probably maybe the peak of the series. I thought Fast Five was just a thoroughly enjoyable movie from all aspects. Realistic? No, not really. You've got two Dodge Chargers pulling this heavy bank vault all across a city. You know, no, it's not super realistic. But just a really good cast of characters, a really good movie overall. I enjoyed Fast Six as well. Yeah, you had that long ass runway that was just going forever, and then they killed Giselle, which I'm a big fan of Gal Gadot, so they killed Giselle. Fast
Everyone says
seven,
she's coming back. Everyone says they're gonna get her back.
The rumors, well, pretty much everybody that's died at this point has came back, including Letty. So you got Fast Seven, and I enjoyed Fast Seven too. It had a really emotional ending, obviously, because the movie came out after Paul Walker had passed. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, that's a good place to stop the series. That's a good place to stop the saga. But then here comes Fast 8, and it was all right. But I own Fast, the original, up through 7. I went out and bought them on Blu-ray. I enjoy it. I haven't bought 8 or I haven't bought 9. So, I mean, that kind of tells you things it's I'll go see the movie because it's Cars. And it's action, and I'm interested in to see where these characters go, but I definitely think it's past its peak. And I'll just segue one last thing. Cause I watched this trailer a few times. There are a lot of flashbacks in this trailer.
In that there specific are, trailer, it's almost all flashbacks.
Yeah. The most recent trailer. And I think that might be telling on a lower level. I think maybe they will look to dial some of the extravagance back some.
I don't know. Not judging by the way Jason.
I mean, you can't get bigger. You can't get bigger than flying a Fiero to space. But they might try to dial it back a little bit. And I also feel like they're really going to try to pull on some nostalgic heartstrings.
Sure.
So that could make it a little bit better than 8. I think 8. 8 was just the low point for me. Now I think 9, well, no, 8 and 9 are kind of right there in the range for me. But hey, everybody, what do you think? Comment right now if you're listening on Motor One Com on YouTube, Motor One Com Twitter, Motor One YouTube, Motor One Com Facebook, Motor One Com Twitter. And if you're catching us after the fact, email us podcast@motorone.com. Let us know what you think on the Fast Saga.
So Smith, you have to leave in about 15 minutes ish.
Yeah, we got a little bit of time here.
Yeah, so it's time to play a game. And here's what we're going to do. My mother-in-law is into genealogy, and her father also saved a lot of documents from the family. So I got to cover up some numbers here. Boy. I have copies of the cars that her grandfather purchased. So it'd be my wife's great-grandfather. And so I have cars that he bought in the 1930s.
Oh, wow. Yes. Okay. Okay. And just for the record, everybody listening, you can partake in this quiz too.
Yes. And that's what I want. I'm going to ask these questions, and you are free to comment, and I will throw those comments up on the screen. I just thought it would be a fun little game to play because, you know, these cars are so old and we forget sometimes what cars cost back in the day. This was not a wealthy family. This was just a normal person buying cars.
almost 100 years ago. Man. Almost.
Yep.
So time is a thing.
I'm gonna fold this.
So let's get the quiz going.
We are at St. Clair Oldsmobile in Cleveland, Ohio.
And it's the 1930s. Okay.
Dated July 14th, 1934. Mr. Horace Hamilton is buying himself a 1934 Oldsmobile F34 touring coupe in black. And because I prepared for this, uh-oh, I can show you what that car looks like.
Bruce prepared. 1934 Olds touring coupe. Let's hear and see some thoughts on prices from people.
So that is the original brochure. I will read the text, your Oldsmobile 6. So that's the thing. So the F models had the inline 6. The L models had an inline 8. So this had the smaller engine, but body styles were generally the same between them. So you could get either an inline 6 or an inline 8, depending. But it's a coupe, so it's two doors, but has room for 5 passengers. Mm-hmm. And I will read the copy here while we're waiting people to come on. Just picture yourself stowing your golf sticks. Yes, golf sticks and luggage into the trunk of this smart motor car, starting out on a long, happy tour. The trunk built into the body can never squeak or rattle, and it accentuates the long aerodynamic lines of the car. A tail light is mounted on either side of the trunk.
Two of them?
Two. The body is longer and provides plenty of leg room both in the front and rear compartments. As in all Oldsmobile 6s, the driver's seat can be moved forward and back in an instant.
So it doesn't go forward and stay. It can go forward and back. Okay.
It can move forward back in an instant to the most comfortable position for the individual driver. So I will also tell you this.
Wait. No CarPlay?
No CarPlay.
Damn it. But it's got two taillights. You got to see the comment. Group FBC. Recognizing that the 1934 things were still pretty rough in America at that point. We're talking about the Dust Bowl, post the 29 crash. So the price, 3 bags of potatoes plus 4 onions for adjusted dealer markup.
Well, I will tell you this. Horace, he bought 2 options with his car.
Okay.
He bought safety glass and bumper guards.
Okay. So do you want to know total price?
I want you to tell me what you think the total price is, and then I will share some of the other details with you. So what was the total price for this car out the door?
$990.
Not bad.
That's gonna be my guess. But everybody, all the Ramblers listening out there, give us a comment. What do you think a 1934 Oldsmobile? What's the model again?
Touring coupe.
Touring coupe. And by no means should you be Googling this to look up what prices were in 1934.
Yep.
Because I promise you I didn't.
No. So
$990. That's my guess.
The base price was $835.79. The safety glass was a $15 option.
$15, huh?
The bumper guards were $3.50. And there was a license transfer fee of $3.05, bringing the total out the door price to
$857.34. $857.34.
That is not what Horace actually paid, though, because he traded in a 28 Oldsmobile for this, and they valued his trade at...
Wait. We got to guess this one, too, man. It's a 28 Oldsmobile. Do you have any other information?
So they literally only write 28 Olds coach. So the coach body. 28
Oldsmobile coach. I'm guessing they gave him $100.
You're damn close. $108.
$108.
Yeah. So with the money he put down, the out the door price was $530 even. He is required to pay $50.33 for the next 12 months to the General Motors Acceptance Court at Keith Building. Yeah, $50.33 was his monthly payment for 12 months to 12 pay off months, the rest of the balance.
12 months, $50. Meanwhile, yep. About a month ago, I bought an Xbox Series X for $500. So, but I could drive thousands of digital cars in that one.
You can.
It's an interesting look back at the times.
That's what I think too. And if people are bored by this, you know, I'm not. And so maybe I'm just weird. I don't know.
If we did this for an hour, maybe I would be like, okay, let's talk about more Transformers. But
I've only got two more cars here. So
You got more cars. Okay.
Oh yeah. So
let's keep going. And if you're listening out there, type up some comments.
Yeah, our previous car was purchased July 14th, 1934. Horace was back at St. Clair Oldsmobile in Cleveland on July 31st, 1937.
3 years later.
Almost exactly 3 years later. And this time, he was buying an F37 Oldsmobile four-door touring sedan.
Did he trade in?
He did trade in. We can get to his trade-in value, but I will show you what a 1937 F37 touring sedan looks like. That's that handsome vehicle right there.
That's not a bad look. That is classic. Oh, that is classic gangster's look, man.
It kind of is.
And that looks like the classic gangster mobile from the 30s.
Yeah.
1937 Oldsmobile F37 touring sedan.
And again, F means inline six. There was also the L37 that got you the inline eight. He got the smaller engine, but the bodies were essentially the same. So
purchased brand new in Cleveland, Ohio in 1937.
Yep. Let me double check. So this time I do not have the options that he purchased. I only have the car, sales tax, and the license transfer fee.
Okay. Well, let's see. I'll say $995.
Ooh, buddy. You are basically right. The out the door price, or I'm sorry, the car's price was $993.
Oh, wow.
He was charged $29.79 sales tax. And there was a $1.55 license transfer fee. So the total out the door price was $1,024.34. But essentially, you got the price right.
I'm within $50. Know. Do I win both showcases? Yes. Exactly.
What do you think they gave him as a trade-in on that 34 Oldsmobile that he traded in?
$210.
Oh, the Oldsmobile folks, they like him over there. In fact, I'm looking at this
218.
Right now, same salesperson on both sales. So this guy, he got $454.34. So
okay,
just a hair over half of his original purchase price.
Okay. After 3 years.
After 3 years, 50%. That's ain't too bad.
Yeah, no, that's not too bad at all. Interesting stuff. I'll be honest. I'm going to be completely honest with everybody. I'm surprised I'm getting this close because I feel like, all right, I'm just going to come in with a ridiculously low number. And you're like, wow, okay. This is kind of spot on. Okay, we got one more?
Your very last car. Yeah. Unfortunately, some records lost their way in the last century. So in 1939, he bought a Buick. We don't have the records on those prices or anything like that. However, on May 24th, 1941, he went to Economy Buick in East Cleveland, Ohio. It's on Euclid Avenue for any of you folks out there. And he bought himself a 1941 Buick Series 41. And I will tell you, this was the hardest picture to find of them all, because finding a 41 Series 41, Google does not like you searching that. So here
a Buick, I'm trying to think if I know what that looks like in my head here. I don't.
So a Series 41,
I think I'm jumping too far ahead,
refers to the four-door touring sedan body style is Series 41 is. So it's a Buick special.
It still kind of had that big style. I was thinking it was still going to be a little more 30s ish in nature, but no, that's moving along.
So that's your car. And I, as I was looking this up, and I didn't look it up extensively, so this could be incorrect, but this car has a 1 year only option on it. And I suspect it's 1 year only because for any of you history buffs out there, in February of 1942, they stopped making new cars because of this little thing called World War II.
Yeah.
So this was a 1 year only option. And that is a dual carb setup that boosted the performance.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, that was purchased pre US entering World War II.
Yes, it was purchased on May 24th, 1941. So December 7th, 41, the day that shall live in infamy has not happened yet.
Yeah.
Still a few months away.
And was there a trade-in on this?
There was, but let's just do the car itself first. I do have the options on this one. He got that dual carb setup and he got fancy. He got himself a heater.
Wait, the other cars didn't have heaters?
I don't know, but the options and accessories for this one list dual carb and heater.
Dual carb and heater. That's living large in the early 40s.
Especially in Cleveland. It gets chilly in Cleveland.
Well, Buick was a little bit higher up in the hierarchy, in the General Motors hierarchy, than Oldsmobile. Buick was considered one step down from Cadillac, which was really the range topper. I'm going to say $1,326.
You're close, just a touch high. So the base price before the options was $1,110.
Okay. Well, wow, that's not as big of a jump as I thought.
And the filing fees and sales tax and all that brought the out the door price to $1,199. And that Buick that unfortunately we don't have the records for, he got $626 as a trade-in on that for a 39 Buick. Again, this is a 41. So his out the door price was essentially the car I don't have the out the door price on this one, but still you can figure if it was $1,199 and $626 off the price, that's what he got. So, yeah.
I jumped up a little bit there, but no, cool stuff.
Oh, and I'm sorry. He got himself a dealer option as well, because I looked at one more thing. He got himself a clock that was $12.50.
Wow, I can buy a cheaper clock now.
Exactly. So, just a fun little... It's fascinating to see what old cars cost, especially when you look at that's a big, hardy sedan. And it's funny that it was just shy of $1,200.
Just shy of $1,200. Well, very different time, very different economy. Still a far cry from the average new car price now being close to $50,000.
Yep.
I've been hearing people talk more and more just about the craziness that we're getting right now with prices. Mm-hmm. And you know, where's it going to go from here? We'll have to wait and see. Yeah. But no group FPC, no massaging seats, unless you run over a zombie and it's kicking underneath, man.
Or depending on the roads in Cleveland at the day after a bad winter.
Yeah, the roads
that it kind of massaged your butt for you.
The roads did the massaging all on their own. Well, this was kind of a fun little experiment.
Yeah, just a fun little thing.
All you ramblers out there, I mean, give us some feedback. Did you enjoy listening to this little kind of trip back through time?
Well, not only that, but also always do a little bit more.
Yeah.
And yeah, group FBC, it'd be interesting to compare those prices to average incomes at the time. That would be interesting.
Because average incomes, obviously much, much lower than they were now.
And there's inflation to consider, and there's any number of things. Yeah.
But at the same time, people didn't have gaming systems to play with and cat videos to look up online and all kinds of stuff.
No, but yeah, just fun. I thought with, Smith, you and I talked about this. There were only the Sierra was kind of the big vehicle debut of the week. And we like to cover auto news, but it's sometimes fun to cover auto news that isn't about the auto industry. So trailers or, things like that.
For sure. No, this is a good time. If you liked hearing this, let us know. Podcast@motor1.com. We would love to do more little things like, you know, like guess this price. Hey, we could even evolve it into something else. That's what we do. We ramble. We love to ramble about cars. So we really appreciate having you all along this evening on this. Maybe not epic, but fun ramble.
Yeah, fun, I think, is exactly the right word for it. But yeah, with that, good evening, good afternoon, or good night, or I guess I should say good morning for Group FCC. Thank you all for spending time with us. We love the fact that we know that there are infinite ways you could spend your time, whether it's movies, TV, podcasts, being with your family, doing work, anything like that. And you choose to spend it with us. And anyone who does that, I appreciate. And I just, it makes me feel really good that anyone out there chooses us over all of the other options in the world. So really appreciate that. And as Smith said, Motor One.com on most of the places, Motor One on YouTube. Again, there's always the audio version and the YouTube version. So if you want to see our ugly mugs talking, you can do that. Or if you just want to hear our voices, you can do that. We are available any way we can make ourselves available. So thank you also for that. Smith, do you have anything to add?
I think that's pretty much it. We look forward to next week. I think we're going to try to do something a little. I think we're going to have a special guest next week.
We have a scheduled guest. He's under the weather this week, so we're hoping he's better.
We'll see. But just a little preview for next week. It'll be something a little different again. A really interesting topic that we're going to have in mind. So hopefully you'll come back and join us then. Like, follow, subscribe.
All right. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye. We'll see you.